Would you turn in your Bibles to Psalms 139? I think this morning I'm going to be teaching for a few minutes on the Lord my Maker. Because, you know, I think we need to, sometimes we don't spend a whole lot of time. Boy, and this thing, look, I was going to say, I don't know if the Lord made this thing, but I'm sure he did. Mine just don't seem to be working sometimes the way it should be. And so I'm not going to fumble with that this morning. I'm just going to get my regular Bible. But if you turn your Bibles to Psalms 139, we're going to start there. And we're going to start with, again, the title of my message is The Lord My Maker. And one of the reasons I want to start there this morning is that sometimes I don't think we take in that he really is our maker, which means that if God, it's almost like God is an inventor. And you know, like an inventor, what he does is, or a craftsman, what he does is he creates something for a purpose. Yes. And that's what God has done with each one of us. And because he has created us for a purpose, that means that he has decided what each one of our purposes is. In other words, he has decided who's going to do what. We don't make that decision. He does. And, you know, this morning I was meditating on some scripture, and I was thinking about, well, I was going to talk about Joseph, and I probably still will at the end. And one of the things I thought about, I said, well, God, why Joseph? You know, what was so good about Joseph? Why you choose? Why Joseph? Why was, you know, because Joseph had all these other brothers. And then I thought, you know, I thought, went down the line, started thinking about David. And because David had all these brothers too. And when Samuel went to anoint the new king, he didn't know which one it was, but God told him which one it was. But when he went, you know, he was looking at their outward appearance. And God said, you know, the first brother came, then the next brother came. And he said, and the scripture actually says, but God rejected them, or, you know, they weren't the one. One of the things they said about David was a man after God's own heart. And so I said, well, I see where it says that about David. I said, but Lord, where does it say that about Joseph? Because I wanted to see in about, okay, Lord, why did you choose Joseph? And then I began to think about the fact was that in, keep your finger in Psalms 139, but also turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, where the Bible actually says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, God was talking to Jeremiah. He says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I created you to be a prophet to the nations. And so God, when God creates us, he already has it in his mind what each one of us is going to be. So it goes right back again to the sovereignty of God. In other words, you don't just kind of appear and then you decide, well, I think I want to be this. Or I think, like we do in the natural world. You know what I'm saying? We become 18 years old or whatever. We go to college and we say, well, I think I might want to be a doctor. Or I think I might want to be a lawyer. Or I think all. Well, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, God had already decided what or who you were going to be. And see, what we're supposed to do is submit to the Creator. Yeah. You know, God is our maker. And not only do we submit to our Creator, we have to come his way, but we've got to also get to a place that we're not envious or jealous of who somebody else is. Yes. You know, because a lot of times, yes, you know, it's a time for us as Christians to become real Christians. Mm-hmm. Now, we get born again, but then we have to grow into maturity. And God has a way for us to do that. And so we have to submit to him with that. And so when I look at scriptures in Psalm 139, first 139 verse 13, where it says, and I'm going to read it from different translations. It says, for you created, this is out of the New International Version. It says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Wow. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully. And see, that's another thing. It's like, it is like when we're born again, we have become this new baby. And it seems like what happens is we get born again, but then we don't attach ourselves to God. We attach ourselves to everything else, and those other things are the things that begin to form our lives as Christians. When we're supposed to, because we have been born again, we're supposed to attach ourselves almost like a baby to the mother's breast, because you're getting nourished. You know what I'm saying? And so it says here, I praise you because I'm fearfully. And see, when you attach yourself to your mom or your dad, you recognize that you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And so, which makes you understand you don't have to try to be a clone. Amen. Like somebody else. Or you don't have to look at somebody else and say, oh, I want to be like that person. Right. Unless you're looking at Christ Jesus. Because it's supposed to be Christ-likeness, right? That's what we're being conformed to. And so, he says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Mm-mm-mm. And you know, even like this weekend, Bishop Boone kept talking about the scripture where it talks about thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth. He said in earth, because man was created from the dust of the earth. You know what I'm saying? And so even right here, he says, when I was made in secret, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, you know. And then he goes, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. And so what it is saying right there is that God has already written out everybody's story. Yes. All the plans for our lives have already been written out. And so one of the things I wrote down this morning, I said, first of all, as our maker, he makes us. He forms us. He's the one who, you know, even like when he did with Adam, we go to Genesis. It talks about how he took the dust of the earth and he blew into it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the thing that was so great about God's breath was that he created a living soul. But the thing was, when the doctor looks at our bodies now, he sees all these different systems, the circulatory system, the skeletal system, the muscular system. And all of that came about. Now, I'm not even talking about half of it. But all of that came through his breath.
Yes.
But he didn't just create the physical man. He created the plan. Mm-hmm. So it's like there is something when God created you, there was something that he had already thought about concerning you and who you are supposed to be. But the key is you've got to submit yourself to God so that then he can bring the plan into play. Now, the other thing with that is this. Along with the plan comes everything else that you need in order to fulfill it, including the gifts. So sometimes we will look at people and say, boy, that person is really flowing. You know what? They're in the plan.
That's right.
They're in his plan. They're not in. And I remember years ago, and I can't remember what teaching this was. Maybe it was on faithfulness or something that, again, Derek Prince taught. He says a lot of people don't see God's faithfulness because they're not in his plan. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like you will. He said people will say God is faithful. But he says a lot of people don't see that God is faithful because they're not in God's plan where he has called them to be. And so they don't see, like, for instance, like this weekend we had this at the conference, this man, I mean, he was just flowing in the gifts. I mean, just really flowing. Yeah. But see, what he's doing is, at least what I think, one of the things about him was that he was walking in his calling.
That's right.
And so whatever it is you need for it, God will give you for it. And so you will see God's faithfulness where his plan is. I mean, really, really. See, what happens to us, though, is that we get bigoted, prideful, And we'll say, well, you know way, yeah, I'm born again. I'm saved. I can do what I want to do. I can be whoever I want to be. No, you can't. The bottom line is you can, but you won't see God's faithfulness in it. You know what I'm saying? You want to see God's faithfulness where he's called you. You know, you want to see God's anointing? You want to see God's anointing and faithfulness where he's called you to. Yeah, and you've got to walk with God in this thing. It's almost like, I mean, it's amazing to me. I was just talking and just meditating and just thanking God about so much, because even some things don't even come about unless it's done God's way. Amen. In your life. I mean, really, you might think, oh, well, I don't want this person to do this, or I don't want that person to do it. Well, if God ordained for them to do it, you better let them do it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, really, seriously, I mean, really, God has ordained certain things certain ways. And it doesn't matter what you think.
That's right.
I mean, it just is. I don't like that person being over me. Where did God put them over you? And see, maybe you need that person over you to get some stuff out of you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, really, God, I mean, that's the question. Are you where God has placed you? You know what I'm saying? Because that's where you're going to see God's faithfulness, you know. And the bishop even talked about this morning. I laughed. I thought to myself when he said it, because I said, because Bishop Mason is also a person who has always enjoyed Durick Prince. And one of his most favorite teachings, because we would always talk to each other which one we liked the best, you know what I'm saying? And his most favorite teaching was what, honey?
The grace of yielding.
The grace of yielding. That's what Bishop Boone said this weekend. The grace of yielding.
Yes.
And that's his favorite teaching. The grace of yielding. And that's it. You know, it's like once you have been called, well, I need to stay on track, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. What I put down, I said, he makes us, because he's creator. He forms us, you know what I'm saying? Then he calls us. And we've got to get to a place that once, see, it's up to us. Well, now we're going to accept the call. You saw Paul on the Damascus Road, you know what I'm saying? God called him, you know what I'm saying? Even when Samuel went to anoint David, it was still up to David to accept it or not accept it, you know? And so God summons us. He summons us, but it's up to us to accept whether or not we're going to accept the summons. And then I wrote down, I said, and then he leads us. See, then it's up to us to decide whether or not we're going to go the route that the Holy Spirit wants us to go, or if we're going to go our own. Because see, God ain't going to take you the route that you're going to want to go to get there. Because see, you know, especially in our society today, we want to do things quickly. The quickest route to get there, I mean, that's even with traveling. Yeah, I know, you know, if I can cut off a couple of hours, I'm going to cut off a couple of hours to get to my place where I want to go. But see, God ain't that way. See, because just the same way he created us, you know, you want to even think about, he created time.
Yeah.
So he knows when what's going to hit at what time. You know what I'm saying? And so eventually we're going to get to Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to look at 39 and all that with Joseph and his life. So you gotta go the way God wants you to go, because God is trying to do something. He's trying to prepare you, get you into a place where by the time you get to where he wants you to go, you're prepared for it. You know what I'm saying? And so you can't look at brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so where it didn't take them long to get to where they got. Well, maybe it's because God has created them to be something else that he has not created you to be. And so you got to wait and just relax, rest. And even as, going back to that teaching, yield. Just yield to the Lord. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Don't try to do it yourself. Because it's like God gives you everything that you need for whatever it is he's called you to. Now going to, I want to read you a couple of more translations of that same scripture. Then I'm going to go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, because one of the things I want you to see with Jeremiah is that the Bible says God called him, but then God told him what he called him to. You know what I'm saying? I mean, God is going to tell us. We don't have to be clueless. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we'll say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You know? And God is going to tell us exactly what it is. You know, and you know, and what we'll do is sometimes we'll say, well, I don't want to do that. Look, once he tells us, I don't want to do that. You know, he said, well, you know, sister, I want you to go and clean the bathrooms for 6 months. Well, Lord, I don't want to do that. You ain't called me to do that. I mean, just think about when he called David, and David had to be Saul's armor bearer. You know, for all that long period of time, knowing that he had been anointed to be the next king. You know what I'm saying? But God called him to serve he called him to serve the king. Serve the one that was going to try to kill him. Oh, but see, God was conforming him to his likeness, to Christ's likeness. That, you know, let me tell you what else I wrote down this morning. I wrote down a lot of stuff. Let me pull out my other notes. No, I'm really serious, you know, because I was trying to decide on what I was going to call this. And I wrote down, first thing I wrote down, I said Christ's likeness. Then I said doing it God's way. Then I said the surrendered life. I mean, I had that. But then I wrote down several books that I had been reading and thinking about. And the first one I wrote down was, of course, Dirk Prince Speaks On. And when I was thinking about Christ's likeness, the first thing I thought about, I said, Dirk Prince speaks on it in his teachings, the grace of yielding. But he also speaks on it in his teachings, the way up is down. And see, and we don't want to go down. We want to go up. But God says the best way to go up is to go down. You got to go down first. And you know what? You got to go down until God tells you to go up.
Well,
I mean, really, seriously. I mean, you know, you don't determine when it's time for you to go up. Only he does. And then there's another teaching. Watchman Nee, he talks about the same thing in his book, The Normal Christian Life. And then he calls it the normal Christian life. In other words, this is supposed to be normal for us, but it doesn't seem to be. And then I wrote down, I said, and the Bishop Moon, I'm going to also talk to you. I'm going to share a couple of things out of those, both of those books. Bishop Boone, he talks about it in his books, The Low Road to New Heights. I mean, you know, and y'all remember, if you've been here for any time, Bishop Boone used to walk around. I remember years ago, he used to walk around with worms in his pocket.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And he would say, do you act like a snake or do you are you crushed like a worm? And he used to walk around with them worms in his pocket all the time about that kind of life. And then another book that he does, and he deals with some of the same stuff, and we dealt with that this weekend, which is called Woman Thou a Kingmaker. And this is what he says in Woman Thou a Kingmaker. You know, I was looking on the internet because I couldn't find my book this morning. I know why I couldn't find it, but anyway, I won't say anything. My husband gets tired of seeing me all my stuff everywhere, so he packs it away sometimes. But in this particular book, he states it in such a wonderful way. He says, a kingmaker is the wife that every man wants. She's the woman you want to manage your company. She's the team player who helps you to win. For a kingmaker, no task is too difficult, no sacrifice too great. She's got an inner substance of life that makes a difference in the lives of others. She's a kingmaker. A kingmaker has the power or influence over another person's life and the ability from God to make that person great. Uh-huh. And then he says, are you a kingmaker? When you meet a kingmaker, it doesn't take long to realize she's authentic. She's the real thing. You just love her integrity and her lack of manipulation. You see a woman without guile, a woman who doesn't try to build her self-esteem at the expense of others. She's already received her sense of value from Jesus. Mm-hmm. She's fulfilled. She knows God loves her, and that's where she gets her self-worth. Wow. You know, that's a mouthful right there, because so many of us want our self-worth from other people. We want other people to make us feel valuable. But this kingmaker woman, this woman, you know, she has already received her value from the Lord. And so it says, when people fail her and fall short in their relationships with her, she doesn't reject them. She draws on her inner strength to keep loving them, because she's grateful that God didn't reject her. And I'm going to tell you, this is a person who has grown in some type of maturity, you know, in the Lord. And then I was reading out of this other book, and I thought this was such a good statement made. This book is The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. And what he did was he explained the difference between a servant and a slave. And he says this. He says, how good it is to have the consciousness that we belong to the Lord and are not our own. Wow. How many of us still belong to ourselves? I mean, really, seriously. I mean, really, how many of us really still belong to ourselves and not to the Lord? Because when you belong to the Lord, that means the Lord can do anything he wants to do with you. And if he's our creator, that means that he has the right to do whatever he wants to do with us, you know. He says, there is nothing more precious in the world. It is that which brings the awareness of his continual presence. And the reason is obvious. I must first have the sense of God's possession of me before I can have the sense of his presence with me. When once his ownership is established, then I dare do nothing in my own interest, for I am his exclusive property. Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey. And he says, the word here rendered servant really signifies a bond servant, a slave. This word is used several times in the second half of Romans 6. What is the difference between a servant and a slave? A servant may serve another, but the ownership does not pass to that other. If he likes his master, he can serve him. But if he does not like him, he can give him his notice and seek another master. Not so is it with the slave. He is not only the servant of another, but he is the possession of another. How did I become the slave of the Lord? On his part, he brought me, and on my part, I presented myself to him. By right of the redemption, I am God's property. But if I would be his slave, I must willingly give myself to him, for he will never compel me to do so. And so when I was reading that, I said, wow, you know, because we will definitely make statements that we are God's servants. Yeah, we are. But are we God's slaves? Which means that he actually owns us. You know what I'm saying? It means that he's the one who tells us what we are supposed to be and what we are supposed to do. But now, how many of us still on the inside of us say, don't nobody tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. I tell myself what to do. Wow. You know, I do what I want to do when I want to do it, mm-hmm. how I want to do it. You know what I'm saying? But we're Christian. Mm-hmm. Are we Christ-like? Mm-hmm. That's the question. Are we Christ-like? Yes. Because see now, what did Jesus say all the time? I come to do my Father's will. It was never about what he wanted to do. It was always about what his Father wanted him to do, what his Father wanted him to be. Always about that. It was never about what he thought, you know. And the Bible talks about it all the time in the Gospels, where he would get up early to spend time with the Lord. Find out, Lord, so what's your assignment for me today, Lord? What do you want me to do today? You know, Lord. And you know, and sometimes we pass the test and sometimes we don't. You know, that's just bottom line. Sometimes we don't. And so I was just meditating on that thing. You see, because you even have to look at the point that I just even in reading, because I'm going back to, you have to really examine what it is you are putting around you, because what you're putting around you or what you're letting in you is what's making you. And if you have the wrong people around you, if you have the wrong stuff going in you all the time, then that's who you end up becoming. You may not think that's who you become, but that is who you're becoming. You know, I was talking to somebody and even had somebody even make this statement recently. There was another Bible teacher, and he was saying that how he has found out, and I'll tell you too, I really think most of the time it's true. Bishop has said it a lot too. He says a lot of times when you put a Christian in a room with somebody who's not a Christian, most of the time that person influencing them influences them more than we influence them. And I'm like, you know, I don't want that to be with me. I don't want it to be that, you know. I'm not trying to say that they're supposed to come out of the room with me and they'd be talking these and thous. I'm not talking about that. But there should be such a likeness of the Lord in me that something should change in that person's life. And a lot of times that's not what's occurring. Not even around Christians and Christians. You know what I'm saying? I mean, your whole, most time we at each other. And so something is wrong there. When that's the case, it's not supposed to be that way. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to want to be so much around the Lord that almost like, you remember, I think it's Exodus 34, where Moses went up to be with the Lord. And they said when he came down, they had to veil him because the presence of God was so much there. And I remember reading a book by, that there where it was about Smith Wigglesworth, where it talked about how when he was on a train and he was in the back and he was praying, and it said this man was on the train with him, and the man kept saying to himself, I don't know, but something is wrong here. Something is wrong. And the man kept saying to himself, you know, I think it has something to do with that man sitting in the back, but I don't know what it is. You know, I don't know what it is. And said Smith Wigglesworth got up to just go to the bathroom, I think, to wash his hands, and said when he began to pass by the man, so the man fell on his knees and said, what must I do to be saved? Because of the presence of God. And my question is, if that's not occurring with us, then that means that we got to get more in it with God. Because something should be changing in people's lives, you know, when they are around us. And it's not because we're holding a stick over them. You know, I'm going to beat you into, you know, submission, or I'm going to beat you into being what I want you to be, or something like that. And I'm not saying that the Bible says, I'm not talking about children and the rod and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying other people and other Christians, all of that, you know, the consecrated life. Bishop Poole always talks about the consecrated life and how we're supposed to be before the Lord and praying and allowing the Lord to change us so that our lives would then impact and change other people's lives. You guys keep me aware of the time too, because I don't have one to watch, so I don't know how long I've been talking. But it is important that those things are occurring in our lives, that they are happening. And so there is a process. And see, that's also the reason for the process. That's also the reason for the Holy Spirit and how he leads us, because he knows what each one of us needs. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Only he knows it. Yes. Because look, he is the creator, right? Yes. He's the maker. So he knows what's on the inside of all of us.
Yes, he does.
You know, he knows. He knows how we're going to deal with this and how we're going to deal with that. So you cannot focus your attention on people and say, well, I want to go the same way this person went, or I want to be that, or I want to be this. No, you got to focus your attention on the Lord and just be with him and allow him to conform you into that Christ-like image so that you can function in the place where he's called you to be. You know what I'm saying? That's what God has called us to do. And so there is a process that he takes us through. And so, and when we look in Jeremiah, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. I mean, yeah, verse 5, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1, 5. When he talks about God calling him. Wow. And so it's almost like I think it goes right back to God's sovereignty. It's like God decides, well, you know what? I'm going to create this person to be this way because I know they're going to be able to handle this. Now, he doesn't, I don't think God, I don't think God makes you do anything. I think, see, what do I want to say? It's like he takes this clump of clay or whatever, and he forms it. He at some point in your life, he calls you. It's your choice whether or not you want to be called or not, whether or not you accept the calling. And that calling can be your salvation. whether or not you accept Jesus Christ. But then in the process of accepting the Lord, he also tells you what your calling is. OK, so he tells you what your calling is. And then the Holy Spirit begins to tell you how you're supposed to go to get there. And so then it's up to you whether or not you want to follow the Holy Spirit's route or whether or not you want to go your own way. OK, and so because let's think about it. We can even look at Genesis chapter 12 where it talks about Abraham when God calls him. You know what I'm saying? Abraham, God told him what he wanted him to do. He told him that, and you're going to have a child. But then Abraham decided, well, you know what? This ain't coming fast enough. I'm going to have to make my child myself. And that was the wrong route to take. You see what I'm saying? And so even with time, it's up to God. You know what I'm saying? It's like, even in that, he is developing something in us, which is called patience. Yeah. Wait. You know, wait. And we don't like to wait. We want everything yesterday. It's just the way we are. You know, we want everything. And then it's like we live in a society that has almost developed us that way. That everything we do now is supposed to be fast. You know, you got the, look, I can remember back in the day. Oh, I was going to say, bro, you see some other stuff. Oh, I thought he was seeing some more critters. I was like, let me get on up from here. Ooh, that's a shame. Look, I don't know if you should move that thing or not. You see, didn't get to see all my mess back here. But I tell you the truth. Oh, look, Mr. Brown being so smooth, I said to myself, Lord, he must see something else back. Let me get on up from here. Ooh, yeah. Bless the Lord. So, but anyway, God, I mean, he, you know, I think that's why even starting at that first verse, we have to see how precious we are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like, it's just like when I look at this hand of mine or when I look at this foot of mine, you know, it's almost like we don't recognize how important it really is. It's just like the thumb. You know, you think to yourself, you don't even pay attention to your thumb most of the time. But if that thumb ain't there, it's a big problem. But the problem is, most of us don't want to be the thumb. We want to be the hand. You know what I'm saying? But that thumb is so important. Fearfully and wonderfully made. But for some reason, there's something on the inside of us that says, we know what it is, the devil, says, I want to be the hand. Or like Satan said, I want to be God. You know, I don't want to be, you know. I mean, he was one of three leading worship. Yeah. Said it was beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, had it going on. It wasn't enough. Mm. It wasn't enough. And the same thing just repeats itself over and over and over. Over again, where somebody's saying, well, you know what? I don't want to be what God's created me to be. I want to be what I want to be. And God says in Psalms 139, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, when I created you, I think like my husband would say sometimes, I threw away, what'd you say? Broke the mold. Yes! Every single one of us. And we could even see that because nobody has the same fingerprints, right? So when he created you, you were one of a kind.
That's right.
But also when he created you, he put his purpose on the inside. He knew what you were going to be the best at. And see, and that's why when you get up, and like I said, I'll give it an example like Brother Bull, I don't know what to call him, Pastor Bull or whatever it was. That's why he was able to just flow. Because see, he was flowing in his calling.
Yeah.
And because he was flowing in his calling, then the gifts were just working.
That's
they're just
fine.
Working. They're
That's
flowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm doing what God has created me to do.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I don't have to do anything else.
That's right.
And that's where my grace is.
Uh-huh.
That's where God's faithfulness is. When I am doing what he has called me to do, not trying to copy somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Because, I'm trying to yeah, put on Joe's clothes, Elder Miles' clothes, you know what I'm saying? And y'all know they don't fit, right? I mean, naturally, they don't fit. So why would I want to put on her clothes? Because when God's created my own
right.
For me,
yes.
for me. You know what I'm saying? And then just think of all the people's lives who will not be helped or impacted because I decided I wanted to be somebody else. You know what I'm saying? That would be just like me saying, well, Lord, you know, you created me to be, I don't know, an artery or something, but I want to be, I don't know, something else. That whole body, the vessels and everything that are going, I mean, the blood flows through the whole body because of the arteries and all of that. But you know what, Lord? I don't want to be that. I want to be something else. You know, I want to be seen.
Wow.
You know, isn't that something? You know, I want to be seen. And those vessels, they're not seen. But they're so important to the body. You know what I'm saying? But there's something has happened in us as the body of Christ that we have gotten so far off track of where God wants us to be. And you know, and every single person is so important. You know, I thank the Lord for people who he has placed in our lives, mine and my husband's life, you know, and you never you can never call out everybody's name because everybody does something for you in some way. But I know, you know, y'all know, and I'm, you know, y'all know I like to fly, right? Y'all know I like to fly. I got to say the opposite. Y'all know I love flying. But Deacon Givens, they persuaded me this weekend to drive with them, to ride with them. But y'all know, just think though, I mean, I think about the Lord and in his loving compassion and mercy and grace, he says, that girl, Lord, she needs to be there. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to place it on their heart to drive her there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When they could have easily gotten on the plane, just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. But they said, Pastor Kate, we going. You know, and Renee has been with me for over 20 years probably. Riding up and down the road, taking me places over and over and over again. Other people too. I'm not trying to just say just her. But what you need when you're in your calling, God will provide for you.
Will.
You don't have to worry about it. I'm sitting in the back the whole time sleeping or whatever. And they driving. Mm-hmm. Look, she got the MapQuest thing. And Deacon, he driving, filling up the tank. And driving. She said, no, honey, you go this way. I mean, the whole, and you know what I'm doing? He said, Pastor Kate, you need to take a power nap. You know, whatever. I mean, the whole time. But this is God. And then they said to Bishop, you want to go? You know, if you want to go, you know, we drive you on down there too, Bishop. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? But what I'm trying to say is, whatever God has called you to, he'll provide what you need.
Yes, he will.
You know what I'm saying? But you gotta be where he's called you. Or you will not see his faithfulness. You know what I'm saying? And that doesn't mean he doesn't want me to get on the plane with my husband. Doesn't mean that. But he says, but for right now, for what she needs, the only way I'm going to get her down is Deacon and Deacon Givens decide to go and take her. So, and that's his mercy.
Amen.
And his grace, that's, you know, right. that they would go ahead and do it. You know, and that's me. Goes right back to even the Kingmaker where it says somebody who will take you a place where you couldn't get to by yourself.
Uh-huh.
So you see, I couldn't get to Georgia by myself this weekend. So God gave me them so that they could get me there.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? And somebody else will look at them and say, well, they ain't nobody. But you don't, yeah, no, you know what? I told Renee this weekend, I said, girl, when you get in glory, God's going to say, come on up to the front of the line, girl.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, see, you were able to endure this lady in the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But it never stopped you from fulfilling God's calling on your life that I've given you.
Mm-hmm.
Never once.
Mm-hmm.
Never once. I can attest to it. Never one time has she ever said, anytime I've had to go somewhere, never once. And the only time she hasn't taken me somewhere is because she couldn't. She was somewhere else, you know, doing something that she, you know, she had no other choice. But I mean, when you, that's maturity.
Yes.
You know, that's strength. That's being able to, that's not thinking about you, never having to be at the front of the line. Mm-hmm. You know, never invisible. Mm-hmm. But you know, the strength being there, you know, and I can even remember the times when she would, like if we were going somewhere and she would say, well, Pastor, let me go out first, you know. You know, I said, Lola, I'll get behind you, Renee. That's all right. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, really. And even Deacon was there with the way this weekend. He was like, y'all, you know, where are y'all? Y'all been still in the building? Where are y'all? You know, I mean, you know. And the whole time, I wasn't, you know what? I wasn't concerned about a thing. I ain't had to be. They were with me. You know what I'm saying? But it's when we are where we're supposed to be, God provides what we need. You ain't have to, look, I knew this weekend, although I took money with me, I ain't had to take nothing with me if I ain't want to. Mm-hmm. I do that. I ain't had to. He said, ha! I ain't giving you no money back. What you talking about, bro? But I ain't have to, you know. Oh, Lord. But, I mean, you know, it's like God, he provides. He provides what you need. Yeah. Oh, I mean, he does. And so that's the way we're supposed to be flowing with God. That, Lord, wherever you want us to be and whatever it is you want us to do, that's what we're supposed to do. Now, I'm going to give y'all one other example. Have I gone over my time?
No.
I have. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, I can't.
1 minute.
Can I have 2 minutes? I'm gonna try, but 2 minutes. I just want to give y'all an example. It was real fun. It wasn't funny at the time when it was happening. This weekend, you know, we had come back from one of the meetings. This was, well, it must have been Friday night. Was it Friday night?
Yeah.
And you know, so Renee was parking the car and everything. And I said, well, look, I'm tired. I'm gonna go on upstairs. I ain't waiting on Renee tonight. I'm just gonna go upstairs. So went to get on the elevator, right? I got on the elevator, and all these people get on the elevator. And I'm thinking in my mind, why are all these people on this elevator? I says, look, it got to be too many people on this elevator. We get between the first and the second floor, and the elevator stops. Mm-hmm. We stuck in the elevator. I said, Lord have mercy, now ain't this some stuff? And so we sitting in the elevator, and so we pray. And then everybody started deciding on what they're going to do to get out of the elevator. I was like, Lord, have mercy. Help me, please. Now, it could have been worse. Yeah. So it wasn't that bad. Don't get me wrong. It really wasn't that bad. But sometimes you get in these situations, you be saying to yourself, Lord, have mercy. What in the world is that? Because I've never gotten stuck in an elevator before. And so I'll get to the end. The fire department had to be called, so they came. And so because we were stuck in between the floors, they had to pull the doors open. So they pulled the doors open. Well, some ladies were right small. So some of them women, you know, they were in a way, they were like, oh, I can pull myself up out of here, you know. And, you know, and some of them were going to go ahead and do it. And the guy had to tell them, no, you can't do that because we got to make sure that this elevator is not going to move. So we got to wait for the fire department. So they did that. So anyway, so when the fire department got there and the guys got there, they pulled some of them out. Very easily. And so then it got to me, you know. And I was like, well, you know, y'all, I have to be honest now. Y'all, it's going to take a lot to pull me out of here, you know. And so they said, well, ma'am, you know, we'll get down. And so the guy got down in the elevator. And he said, well, just step on me. I said, do you understand what you're saying here? You want me to step on you? I said, you don't know how much weight you're talking about here, bro. And so he said, ma'am, just step on me. I got you. You step on me. And so I had to step on him, and then the rest of them pulled me out and everything. But the point I want to make is I needed them.
Yeah.
I couldn't get out there by myself. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't. And some of the other ladies probably could have eventually got themselves. But I needed somebody to help me to get out of there. And we need each other to help. Yeah. See, a lot of times with us, we instead of trying to get down to push somebody up, we be trying to pull people down.
Yeah.
And that's not the way, that's not Christ's likeness. That's not what God has called us to do. You know what I'm saying? And so that fireman had to look, he kneeled down and I had to step on his leg. I said to myself, by the time that brother got out of there, his leg was probably killing him. But that was his job though. His job was to get us out of there.
Yeah, it was.
And he got every single one of those ladies out of there. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, bless the Lord. Let's pray. Father.